Now you have Aamir Khan, Shahrukh Khan. These are really big names, right?
They are huge names in India, yes.
What are they doing, taking selfies, hanging out with Modi? I mean, are they like ambassadors to the cause of trying to stop the oppression? Is that what's going on?
This is not, again, I will repeat one more time, this is not a Hindu versus Muslim thing, because I don't want anybody to misinterpret this.
And now you got 8 million people's dogs or cats, whatever, locked up.
Yeah.
Imagine what kind of uproar
that would be.
The people who killed Gandhi, now these are the people who are trying to kill Muslims?
Yeah, it's the same people.
Aamir Khan and Shahrukh Khan, do they have a responsibility as being people who are that popular, that famous?
This is the supremacist ideology, the nationalistic militant ideology against the good people. This is the
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace, welcome to the Deen Show. And I want people to imagine that an occupying force came over, locked you in your homes, took away TV, internet, not just that, because sometimes we need to stay away from these things anyway, but an oppressive regime came over, locked you in your homes, and you weren't able to go out of your house, you're stuck in there, and the siege is going on. How many days now?
About 100 days.
100 days.
Yes.
People are still locked up. We're talking about Kashmir.
We're talking about Kashmir here. And yes, people are locked in since the revocation of Article 370.
That has not stopped.
That has not stopped. People are in curfew. Curfew does get off from what we hear. But people are still in a lockdown.
Curfews. That means they can leave their house?
There are certain hours, as we understand it, that they can leave their house. But businesses are still shut down. Basically people are in a lockdown. The communications is still to a very large extent shut down. The landlines we hear has come up, but people cannot communicate to the outside world. We have heard and we continue to hear from our contacts that people who are, you know, our friends here who are from Kashmir, they're not able to connect with their families. At least the first 2.5 months or so, they were not able to connect even through second or third channels. Now, at least because some of the landlines are up, people are able to talk, but there is really no open communication. You will not find out what is happening in Kashmir because they still continue to be in the lockdown for over 100 days now, almost.
And these are not like curfew for kids, like be home at a certain time. We're trying to keep the kids off the street. This is like adults. This is and I did say occupying force. This is an occupying. They've occupying these people's land now. How does that work? If I'm using the right terminology.
So let me take a step back here. Let me give you a little bit of history on Kashmir, right? So Kashmir, since India and Pakistan, the partition happened when Britishers left India, there was Kashmir, without getting into too much details of, you know, what happened across the country, specifically for Kashmir, what happened was there was an Article 370. What that meant was this is part of Indian constitution that people from outside Kashmir cannot buy land in Kashmir. Kashmir will have their own a government which the defense is taken care of by India, and the rest of the matters are with the people of Kashmir. And what happened was 100 days ago, the government of India kind of revocated that Article 370. That is in itself is going against the Constitution of India. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, people have been in the lockdown. If, you know, India is saying it's good for Kashmir, then people should be open, people should be free, they should be able to do what they need to do, and they should be happy if you know, the government claims that this is a good thing for Kashmir. Okay, if it's a good thing for Kashmir, let the people be out there and let the people, celebrate if that's the case. Why are they in the curfew? First of all, revocation of Article 370 was, as per Indian law, it's unconstitutional. And this is from the grandson of Gandhi. Mm-hmm. And this kind of brings up to another point. But the grandson of Gandhi, he himself spoke a few days ago, where he clearly called that out, that, you know, the revocation of Article 370 itself was unconstitutional.
Okay, so we painted a little picture just to get people, because most people have no idea what's going on over there. So imagining you now, you're locked in your homes for so many days, like like people would, like Imran Khan, president of Pakistan. I think he mentioned in his speech in front of the United Nations that if you had, what, 8 million animals who were being oppressed like that, people would have done something. People would have taken a stand. These are 8 million human beings. So hopefully people have a better picture now, and then we'll get into who are you and your involvement in creating a awareness in this effort now that you're doing to try to, what has motivated you to get out there, and that's what you're doing, creating awareness on the situation, the reality on the ground in India and in Kashmir.
My name is Junaid Ahmed. I was born in India. I moved here when I was in high school. I have, so since then, I've been pretty much out of touch, if you want to call it, from you know, pretty much, you know, living since then, living here in the United States. I did my college here, and that is why I got involved, just to make people aware. And keep in mind, I want to be very clear and specific in one point here. This is not, when people talk about India and Pakistan or talk about things within India, people think it is a Hindu versus Muslim issue. I want to let you know, I grew up in India. This is not a Hindu versus Muslim issue. Majority of Hindus are amazing, good people. Some of my good friends are Hindus. My lot of my coworkers are Hindus. Hindu, by definition, is a very good, peaceful people. Now, the ideology we are talking about here is the supremacist ideology. Taking into background RSS, Rashtriya Swayam Sevak Sangh, the RSS and its sister organizations, that is what they're introducing, divisive mentality, people, you know, hatred, you know, oppression against minorities. That is the concern. That is the issue that should be talked about. Yeah. It is not a Hindu versus Muslim issue. And keep in mind, these are the same people who killed Gandhi.
Are there voices on the ground of Hindus who are coming up? Let's say, for instance, a lot of these actors out there. What do you know? The Khans,
Amir Khan,
Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah.
And how about those? Those are Muslim actors, right?
They are Muslim. They are.
People like them. But how about Hindu actors or just Hindu personalities? People, because it's just blatant. This is just blatant evil that's being perpetuated. Are there people on the ground, these good people, who are coming out and speaking out against this oppression?
That's a very good question, and I have a very short answer, and I'll delve into that. The answer is yes. There are a lot of good people on the ground. There are a lot of good voices on the ground, and people are speaking up.
Yeah.
So people are taking a stance. People are taking whatever means that they have. Now, having said that, let me tell you what is happening to those people. Unfortunately, because these forces have penetrated into the political system, their political wing is, you know, pretty much holding the government now. They're, you know, they have two or three other militant sort of organizations, which is Vishwa Hindu Parishad and Bajrang Dal, which, as per the CIA report, has been called as nationalist militant organizations. These organizations, you know, are penetrated across the society. Mm-hmm. Now, there are people, there are police officers, there are elected officials, there are common people, good people, there are journalists who are taking a stance. Some people are able to speak, other people, their voices are suppressed.
Yeah.
And once this is the issue at hand, that if you have good and bad at the same time and good people are able to speak too, that's part of any democracy. Mm-hmm. I think, from my perspective, I may think something is not good, but at least there is a debate. There is a discussion. There is, you know, within the political landscape, there is a discussion and debate about it. What's happening in India is there is the other voice that good people are bringing up, they are being squashed. And that's an issue.
Because the reason I'm saying that is because you have that's a huge, what's the population of Hindus there?
India's population is over a billion right now.
Yeah. So if you have so many Hindus there, if the good people came out, all of them, instead of being quiet, man, they would overtake, I would think they would overtake this evil, and they would just, because the people's voice would be heard, and now they would have to go ahead and not, they would not be allowed to go this far.
Excellent. So, see, that's what we're
like. You know what I'm saying? Like
we
as Muslims, as soon as some lunatic does something, it's like we have to come condemn it, even though it has nothing to do with Islam. Mm-hmm. But now you got people that are how many days did you say? 100 100 days locked up like animals.
Yeah.
Right. Like animals. And the world, UN, what are they doing?
UN, I mean, UN did question. UN did question.
They did
India.
What?
Did question. Yeah. I mean, they passed. They're working. That's what we're working. You see a lot of organizations working through UN to pass, asking US to take action against this.
Yeah.
To your point, really nothing concrete has been done. Everybody is saying this is India's internal matter.
Yeah.
But see, Kashmir is one thing, but the rest of the India, right? I'll take Gujarat as an example, okay? Gujarat is another state on the eastern side of India. 2002, when our prime minister was the chief minister of that state, a massacre of Muslims were done where thousands of Muslims were killed. And believe it or not, lots of Hindus, a majority of the Hindus spoke against it, were not in favor of this carnage.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a prime example of how when this massacre was done, Hindus came in support of the minorities, in this case specifically Muslims. So that voice is there. Now, when the cases were opened for 2000 and after 2002, it was Hindus who were fighting for justice for these people. And really, because of the massive power that they have, they were able to squash it. Nobody was brought to account.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, the victims were blamed.
Yeah.
That it was because of your fault that you burned this, train, all of this massacre happened. So it's just the same nationalistic supremacist, agenda that came about here. And you know what is scary here? What is very scary here is that 2002 Gujarat massacre, was that a blueprint for what is being planned for rest of India?
Yeah.
And that is very scary.
Now you have Amir Khan, Shahrukh Khan. These are really big names, right?
From they are huge
Bollywood.
Names in India, yes.
What are they doing taking selfies, hanging out with Modi? I mean, what's there? There's some controversy going on there because they're supposed to be Muslim. And are they having a meeting saying, hey, Modi, what's going on? We got to get these people out. Are they like ambassadors to the cause of trying to stop the oppression? Is that what's going on?
I think that's up for interpretation.
Yeah.
I'll give you my view on it.
Yeah.
I think Amir Khan and Shahrukh Khan, these are good actors, right? I mean, they are very popular. If they say something, the majority of India, I think they listen. And that's probably the reason they were asked to, or they themselves took it. We will not make a judgment on their behalf. But when they went and took those selfies, the message that they're going to, trying to give, them meaning Modi and, the prime minister, and this thought process is that things are pretty cool in India.
Yeah.
Nothing is happening. India is good. There are no issues with it.
That's the
message that's trying to be given out here. That's my take on it.
That's what Amir Khan and the other Khan.
Shahrukh Khan.
Shahrukh Khan, that's the message you think that they're giving, that everything is cool, but is it cool?
No, it is not cool. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's depends on what part of India, and this is where we got to spend a few minutes to think about this, right? Depending on what part of India you live, you don't see any issues. If you're in the southern part of India, things are pretty cool.
Yeah. Are they from the southern part?
They're in Bombay, which is still okay. Things are not too bad.
Yeah.
Now, they're going state by state. You know, you had Kashmir, then you had Assam. Now, Assam, by the way, is a different major concern. Then Assam and then northern side of India, the mob lynching that's happening. It's not happening too much, even though it's happening, sporadically across the country. It's pretty much, the northern side of India, which we hear all the time. So mob lynching in 21st century, and you still tell me the country is cool? I mean, tell me, how do you justify that? People, and this is just not Muslim, mind you. There are Dalits, there are Christians who are being, oppressed and suppressed here. The mob lynching, when people are being killed, the majority of India opposes that. There are cases when Hindus jump in the middle and stop it.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, there are cases when nobody does anything and people stand and watch. When you have hundreds, I'm not saying one or two cases, across the country, when you have hundreds of mob lynching cases, how can you say things are pretty cool in India? No, it's not cool. People,
is this verifiable? The hundred? This is
absolutely. Sure. Yeah. This is, you Google it, you will see viable reports of all of this. Yeah, I mean, so this is the news.
Do you think Amir Khan and Shah Rukh Khan, do they have a responsibility as being people who are that popular, that famous, or are their hands tied?
I would say their hands may be tied, because look, anybody in India who speaks up, I am talking about IAS. So this is civil services in India. There are cases of very senior officers who tried to, I gave you an example about 2002 Gujarat carnage. Mm-hmm. There was two police officers who were looking to investigate this, and they're not in the picture anymore. They're completely gone. Uh-huh. So their voices will be suppressed if somebody speaks up, and somebody is powerful enough, and if they speak up, their voices will be suppressed. Yeah. Now, talking about these two actors, Amir Khan, Shah Rukh Khan, you know, they because they don't feel the pain, maybe they're thinking things are cool. Maybe their hands are tied. It could be either ways.
Yeah. So the situation there also is that you mentioned there are detention centers being set up. Can you talk about that?
Oh, God. That's the next painful story, Arif. What's happening is on the western state of Assam, which is next to Bangladesh, there are about 2 million people, especially minorities and very specifically Muslims. What they're doing is they are, so in 21st century detention centers, just think about this. If you are a general, normal American living in this world, think about mob lynching in 21st century. Yeah. Think about a detention center in 21st century. There is a construction in progress right now. I don't know what's the percentage complete right now. A few months ago, the walls were built. The foundation was done. By now, I think the
structure. This is happening as we speak.
This is happening as we speak.
But why? For what?
So what they're saying is these are the word they use. I will use the Hindi word that they use. They use the word guspitia. Guspitia, I will try to translate that. The people who have intruded in the country. So that they're saying like these people came from Bangladesh is the claim.
Yeah. Wait, so it sounds like, say it again.
Guspitia.
Guspitia, Islamophobia.
Yeah. No, it's nothing. It's nothing to do with Islamophobia, even though at the forefront of all of this is Islamophobia.
That's what I'm talking about.
It sounds like it, but it's really
because of the Kashmir, and the detention centers, and the attack on Muslims. It sounds like, I mean, it's not Imran Khan, the president of Pakistan. He connected this all to anti-Islam, Islamophobia.
It is. Yeah. But in India, it's just not Islamophobia. Even though Islamophobia is the biggest part of it, it's this nationalistic, supremacist ideology, which is against the minorities, which is against the lower caste Hindus, which is against other Hindus who may not follow them.
Okay, so it's even a broader scope, but this evil of nationalism, that's the driving force.
That's the driving force behind this.
That's the bull with the horns now.
Absolutely. And then these days, Eddie, you use the word Islamic terrorism, then that's it. You get a green pass for everything. That's what the world is using. That's what India has started using.
That's the pretext now that's being used, the excuse to go ahead and justify these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's all you. That's the card. Now you want to invade a country. War on terror equals war on Islam.
Yeah.
So this is just the pretext that people are using. But smart people are waking up. I mean, waking up to that reality, because like you said, the majority of people are good people.
Yes.
You know, but most people are manipulated by the mass media manipulation and the lies that are out there being perpetuated. So we need to create awareness like this and let people think for themselves. Don't let the media, in this particular case, we don't get much news at all on the media here on what's going on.
Absolutely
in India, no?
No, and think about this. If there was, I'm just going to use, let's say a good Jew somewhere in the world was lynched just because of his religion. What would be the reaction across the globe?
That's a good point.
Think about what Imran Khan said, 8 million dogs and cats if they were in a lockdown, what would be the reaction of the world?
Yeah, think about that right now.
So is Muslims blood cheap? That's the question.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the situation we are at. And then you know, Eddie, we're talking about Muslims, but keep in mind, in India, even though Muslims are one of the biggest minorities which are being persecuted, the lower caste Hindus are going through the same thing, the Dalits. Christians are going through the same thing. So this is not, again, I will repeat one more time, this is not a Hindu versus Muslim thing, because I don't want anybody to misinterpret this. This is the supremacist ideology, the nationalistic militant ideology against the good people.
Imagine, because people, they love their pets here in our country, here in people love their dogs. You know, imagine if they took that beloved dog, locked them up, and now you got 8 million people's dogs or cats, whatever, locked up.
Yeah.
Imagine what kind of uproar
that would be.
The citizens would have.
Yeah.
But the world sleeps. And when I was in Bosnia, and many people compared it. I got this news sometime back, that what they're speaking to the average Indian, they were telling me, I'll ask, what's going on in India? And they know that my background's from Bosnia, and they would say, what happened in Bosnia? It's slowly, they're trying to prepare what could potentially be a genocide. So we heard this word being thrown around, the potential genocide that could happen. And Imran Khan, he said it good, like, what's going to happen when you have 8 million people, when now, you know, you have caged them like animals? What's going to happen now? You keep on putting the pressure, and then you release, and now what's going to happen?
That's a scary part.
Yeah, that's a scary part. And he made some really good some points in his, I really recommend people see his United Nations speech. And the term, because what happened there in Bosnia is that we came to know, I didn't make this up, the soldiers there who were on the ground, and they saw that the United Nations wasn't doing anything to stop the genocide that was happening against the Muslims in Bosnia. And Muslim is simply just any human being who has submitted his or her will to the creator of the heavens and earth, wants to live a peaceful life with their creator, with themselves and their neighbors. So they were writing on the walls there, United Nations, basically they were putting United Nothing. Because they did nothing, right? They actually helped the facilitation. The Dutch soldiers, I believe, it was the Dutch soldiers in helping the mass genocide of over 8,000 innocent souls in Srebrenica. You know about that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So now we see we're trying to create awareness because it seems like now you're gonna have a greater genocide here that's gonna happen in Kashmir there in
Assam and in Gujarat. They did it. They did it for a few thousand people.
Yeah.
In Gujarat, and that's the blueprint that we are really scared that they are looking to take it across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody there are people who are going to deny that is in plans, let me quote the Home Minister of India, who was the architect of the genocide in Gujarat.
Yeah.
The Home Minister of India has said that we will give citizenship to all religions. He took a name categorically of all religions except Muslims. Mm-hmm. And they said the people who are going to have to prove their citizenship are, Guspetia is the word he used. So anybody, all other religions, they're going to be given citizenship. The only religion he did not mention who are going to be given citizenship is Muslims.
Now, who's saying this?
This is the Home Minister of India.
Home Minister
who holds the power in the country.
He's saying that everyone is going to be given
citizenship. In Assam, so he said. So basically, let me take a step back real quick, very quick. This NRC, the National Citizenship Registry, right? What this is they want to make a registry of citizens. But in theory, there's nothing wrong with it, right? Every country should have it. But if only minorities are going to be targeted, and in this case only Muslims are going to be targeted, we have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're saying that anybody who is not a Muslim, we're going to give them citizenship, so they're not going to be target of any of this. And then the detention centers they're building, it's only Muslims who are going to be in those detention centers. And that is on the record. Anybody can Google, and they can find it.
Gandhi, at his time, was he fighting against people like this?
Absolutely. So one thing I want to say now. India, this mentality, this nationalistic supremacist mentality I'm talking about, they were the killers of Gandhi. Okay. So Gandhi was the face of India the whole time. Now the people who killed Gandhi, unfortunately, are in power today.
So the people who killed Gandhi, yeah. Now these are the people who are trying to kill Muslims?
Yeah, it's the same people.
Same people?
Same people.
So they're going to kill Amar Khan and the Shukla?
I hope not. But if you're a Muslim, you're a target. If you're a minority, if you're a Dalit, you're a Christian, you could be a target. That's the sad part.
Uh-huh. Yep. But is it gotten that bad? I'm just trying to think, because usually if you have like Hollywood stars here, they're usually not scared to speak. They'll get up and they'll support like something that's cool to support, or sometimes some are brave enough to come out. But with the
you're comparing the world's most free country to
India
is supposed to be a free country, which it still is to
and they
to
have
some extent.
They have over there Bollywood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but. And if I was sitting in India, and if you were to interview me like this, I think I'd be scared to say what some of the things that I said here.
Do people go missing? I mean, what or they?
Some parts of India, yes, they do go missing. So again, this is where you have to understand and appreciate the diversity of India. India is a large country. Some parts of India are still pretty safe. To a large majority, it's still pretty safe. They're going state by state. Gujarat was the first target. They successfully did what they wanted to do. They massacred, where now people of Gujarat, they're not second-class citizens, the Muslims, but really they don't have the same opportunities like everybody else in the country.
Yeah.
Now they went after Kashmir. The next is Assam. What is next? Uttar Pradesh, the state of UP, their chief minister is... God help us. I mean, he's extreme beyond what you can imagine. So they're going state by state. So people in other states don't even know what's happening. They're too busy making their own livelihood. They don't know. They don't appreciate. The ones who appreciate do speak up. The ones who don't appreciate, they're just too busy with their livelihood.
It's interesting. People try to attack Islam and attack Muslims. But in what we have, you can equate, let's say, the Constitution in the divine legislation of Islam, and Islam simply means to submit your will to the creator of the heavens and the earth. So in its legislation, you have guaranteed rights that no people can come across in a majority, outrun the minority or whatnot, like we see happening here. Just you got to get, it's like this gang mentality. You got a whole group of racists, nationalists, right? And now they're coming together, and then they end up changing the laws and oppressing the minority. But in Islam, the divine legislation that we have, you have people who are not Muslim, but they have rights.
Yes.
And you can't oppress these people.
Absolutely. And
everybody, and they want to attack Islam.
Exactly. And see, that's the beauty, that's the irony of the thing. It's the beauty of the thing, it's the irony of the thing. Let me show you what I mean by that. Islam brings all of these, just simple, basic human rights to the forefront. I think similarly, all of the religions do when it comes to the core competency. But when Muslim violates some of this, it's on the highlight. Other people do it, they get a free pass.
Yeah.
And that's the irony of the situation.
That's the irony, because you have, this is not just this place. Then you have, with the extremist Buddhists who are doing in Myanmar. Right?
Oh, God,
you have India here, Kashmir, you have all these different places, Palestine, and now the world sleeps, and it seems like you said, those people who are submissive to their creator, their blood is cheap. But that's the test. May that's God Almighty make it easy. But inshallah, what can people do? Does your organization, what do you guys now, you have an event coming up also with
Mehdi Hassan.
Yeah, and what can people do to help to alleviate some of the suffering, some of the pain, some of the create more awareness? What can people do?
So a few things here, right? First and foremost, I think what I would ask each and every person who is listening here, educate yourself. Find out what is happening on the ground. Get some on-the-ground reality. That's number one. Number two, have a discussion on this. Talk to your elected officials if you tell them, because keep in mind, we all see this genocide coming, but at the same time, a genocide or some kind, this kind of violence cannot be stopped from inside, because they will be squashed. It has to be stopped from outside. And this is where I think what people can do is your question. I think people should first educate themselves, second, make their elected officials aware of what is happening, because there is so much live in the national, news and the media. You don't see any of this. It's up to the individuals to educate themselves and then promote this pluralism and the secular country that India once was.
So the card that they're using now, because to get away with this, you have to have some strategy and some words that you're using, some pretext. It's all that these people are a threat. They're terrorists. What are they saying?
That's exactly what they're saying. This is a threat to the country, in which one of the key things that we do is we build coalitions. Mm-hmm. We work with other Hindus. We work with Dalits, who are the lower caste Hindus. We work with Sikhs. We work with Christians, and we work with Brahmins, the higher caste Hindus. Their majority of them, like I said, are good, and we're working with them. There are several organizations that we are working with, kind of trying to work and promote this pluralistic culture that India should be and has always been. Mm-hmm. Until recently, and this is the work since 1925, when RSS was established. You're seeing the fruits of it come in the last 6, 5, 6, 10 years. That's where, if people educate themselves now, people find out the facts, and that's where I think the results you will see in a few years. Now, you asked me, what an individual can do, right? If you're in the Chicagoland area, we have an event coming up November 16th with Mehdi Hassan. Please join us. So this event is November 16th at 6 p.m. at Shalimar Banquets in Lombard.
Well, Pat, a few more questions before we conclude. Tell us, so Imran Khan, the president of Pakistan, he came out in his speech, and first he addressed many things, and then he finished it off, I believe, with the Kashmir issue in India, and that, and he talked about Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He gave examples through his history of some of the noble things that amazing things he did. He cleared up some misconceptions. And I like what he did, because he went to the root of the problem, and this is the people being anti-Muslim, anti-Islam. And then he also talked about the potential war between that can happen, that will spill over. And that's my question to you: what's going on now with Pakistan and India? Is Pakistan, are they a strong force to be reckoned with? Is there a possibility for them to collide?
Look, any country with nuclear power, I think, is a power to reckon with. Now, take the the nuclear power out of the equation. Even then, those two countries, regardless of who wins, who loses, the destruction in the region will be beyond what minds can imagine.
And it'll affect us here, everybody.
It will affect the entire globe.
Yeah.
I mean, the repercussions, the results could be damaging to the entire world. I mean, this is in the best interest of the entire world to bring back India to its core values of pluralism, to its core values of secularism. Because if India and Pakistan collide in this case, and now the forefront of the issue there is Kashmir, if Kashmir issue is not resolved and there is a collision, as you said, the repercussions would be beyond what mind can imagine, because of the modern day weaponry both countries have.
Mm-hmm. You had the president of Pakistan, who was trying, he's made it clear that he never wants to go to war with anybody. He's a man of peace, and he was trying to extend that hand of peace to the president of India. And he talks about how they took that as a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
Right? And even, I believe, Trump tried to
mediate
and they wanted no part of that. They didn't want to come to the table to make that happen. Is that right?
Yes. So. And what we need to understand there is this government, this ideology, feeds off of hate. If there is peace with Pakistan, then they lose. Their government goes away tomorrow, because they're economically, they're doing really bad right now under this government. The previous prime minister of India, he took India to new heights. I mean, he did a lot of good things. He was the finance minister prior to that. So from an economic perspective, he took India to new heights. I mean, he did a lot of good things for India. all of the work you see being undone right now. Even though, you know, some people of this ideology may like to think that India is growing, because just because, you know, what's happened here in Houston, Howdy Modi event, right? When Modi comes here, you know, you see all of these activities happening and people think that, oh, the, all things are good. So that's where I think this whole ideology, the whole, this mentality feeding off of hate in India will be taken aback if there is peace with Pakistan. I don't think the current government would want that.
What about the was it 13,000 young boys who are abducted from their families in Kashmir?
That is correct. His name was Manmohan Singh. Sorry, it just split my mind. But yes, there are 13,000 boys who reportedly are missing. There are reports of thousands and thousands of women being raped. So these reports are out there.
Where's the feminist movement? Are they coming through for their sisters there now in Kashmir?
No, nobody speaks because see, India is denying that.
Yeah.
And the reports that are coming out of India, the mass media is really not reporting.
Do they let reporters from here on the ground to come in?
No, sir. There are no reporters, no international
journalists. That tells you, right, as soon as that happened, you close the door from people coming in.
Yep.
Now you know that all these things, obviously, why don't they want them in?
Yeah, there are no international reporters allowed. International politicians, elected officials, wanted to go to Kashmir. They were not allowed. Now, somebody will immediately counter this.
How do they counter that?
That they did allow, actually invite some far-right politicians from Europe, EU, and then they took them to Kashmir, which in my opinion was a blunder mistake. You're actually showing to the world that you are this exact same supremacist mentality. When a normal American politician wants to go there, you're not allowing them. From politicians from UK try to go there, you're not allowing them, and then you're going to handpick who you want to take there. That, I think, itself is a proof that you are a supremacist organization.
Are there a lot of Americans from politicians from here speaking up about it?
There are a few. There are a few who are speaking against it, and they you know, if you were to hear in October, there was a congressional hearing, and they questioned India again as to, hey, what is happening? And as an outside country, I think that's to the extent they can do. And I think a lot of politicians are bringing this up. And the way I hope each and every elected official here brings that up, especially the ones who are part of the, you know, foreign policy.
But some people might get confused and say, hold on, if it's so bad, then why is like a country in the Middle East, you know, giving awards to someone like this president if he was doing something so bad? You know about that?
You absolutely. And this is the irony of the situation again, right? Our own elected officials, they don't care for the wider Muslim community. They don't care about human rights. For them, it's about their seat. It's about their personal gains, about their business with India. They don't want to impact their business with India. So they are basically, you know, following along in this whole narrative, and they're not taking a stance. And that's where when our own leaders are like that, we have nothing or no other choice but accept to ourselves, stand up and do the best we can, which is, you know, kind of educate people around us.
What do you think would happen if we went on the streets to Devon Avenue? You've mm-hmm. been to Devon Avenue?
Yes.
And we asked, there's a lot of Hindus over there.
Yeah.
If we asked the average Hindu their take on what's going on in Kashmir, what do you think their response would be?
An average Hindu, I think, keep in mind, their thought process would be that if they are educated enough to understand that this was the Indian Constitution, I think they will clearly say that Indian Constitution was violated. Now, if you were to ask an average Joe who may not know the background, the fundamentals, they would say, hey, it was part of India. India is saying there's one article we're going to remove. But if you look at the background, there is so much more to it. So I think I would say it depends on who you ask. Your response would be different. Somebody who is, like I said, the grandson of Gandhi, you know, he himself, being a Hindu, clearly said the voice of the people of Kashmir was not taken into account, which was at the fundamental, at the core of Article 370, that any decision that is made for Kashmir will be based upon the decision taken by the people of Kashmir.
Yeah, Gandhi, being known for his nonviolent protests, he had such great things to say about Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He was reading his history, and then when it came to an end from whatever he read, he was talking about how he wished that there was more, that, you know, and he praised. He was actually praising Prophet Muhammad,
yes, absolutely,
peace and blessings be upon him. Yeah.
Yep. And you know how India is known. I'm using that as example because India across the globe is viewed as this not violent, peaceful, secular country, which is at risk. And I hope people within India and outside India can stop this hatred.
Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. I think that, this is something that for us, all of us, you know, especially here, we have so many blessings to be grateful for, and you start to see the different tests that are going on, and we can make dua for our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
In these parts, and it reminds us to hold tight to the rope of Allah, to the Creator, to be committed to our deen, you know, because if we try to find solace and peace in anything, anybody else, then the Creator of the heavens and the earth, you know what I mean, that's where we're going to have big issues. So we need to be, you know.
Come back to the basics.
Come back to the basics of the deen, hold on to the deen, and know that this life is short.
Yes.
It's transitory, it's a test, and inshallah we pass it and get to Jannah, inshallah.
Amen, inshallah.
That's where the real home is. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Jazakallah khair. Thanks.
Ami wa yak. And thank you guys for tuning in. You can go ahead and subscribe if you haven't. Check us out on our Patreon page also. You can support our work. And we'll see you next time here every week on The Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.